Today's Morning Edition interview guest is a familiar face and a voice to the station. Morning, Rob.
Hi, Steve. Right. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm feeling nervous. I mean, do all our guests feel nervous during the Morning Edition interview?
You know, I noticed that the on-air person chair is slightly higher than the interview guest chairs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess it should reassure me that you're kind of this, I don't know, heavenly figure towering above me a little bit. But anyway, I'm a little anxious that I might say something stupid. This is the time of year when news departments, newspapers around the country are doing the dreaded year-ender, when we have to kind of wrap up the news year. And in Sitka, it's no different. We have to do a year-ender. And at Raven Radio, the way we go about it, or in Coast Alaska, rather, is Ed Schoenfeld, our regional news director, gets us all together in a teleconference a few weeks ago, and he says, well, how about everybody do a two-minute year-ender, you know, self-introduce? So you would say, you know, reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey. The big story in Sitka this year was yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can daisy-chain all these two-minute stories together into one sort of larger newscast, and it's very convenient for all the stations. So a few weeks ago, we're going, sure, Ed, yeah, we'll do that. No problem. And then a few days ago, I actually sat down to do the year-ender, and I started writing down the sort of the big stories of 2009, and uh-huh. I gave you a copy of my list. It's like 3 pages long.
I see that.
And I thought, well, the two-minute story is not really going to do complete justice to the to 2009 for Sitka, so I thought I would impose on you a little bit and take this Morning Edition slot and sort of talk about maybe all the things that didn't go into the year-ender that people will be hearing this evening and next Monday on the radio. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming in.
I guess that I haven't heard all of NPR this morning, but I guess they're talking about the economy, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And in Sitka, I think the economy affected all of us, but we never had a big economic story to really hang news on. We never had any major, major widespread layoffs or huge plant shutdowns or anything like that. But I think the economy affected us all, and I think if we had anything that could have been described as an economic story, it was when Eric McDowell, the economic analyst from Juno, came over and held a big meeting over at the Sitka Performing Arts Center and said that basically some parts of Alaska, Sitka included, might actually benefit from a weaker economy elsewhere in the country, as people will be inclined to stay in Sitka since job prospects elsewhere around the country are poor and they're actually slightly better here in town. And I think people sort of left that meeting kind of scratching their heads, but maybe mm-hmm. feeling a little reassured that all was not lost. And then then the rest of the economic story in Sitka was just a matter of little trends. I mean, fishing prices, as you know, stayed fairly robust, but we went into the season with kind of an overstock of frozen inventory at the processors, and it took a while to work through that. But mm-hmm. commodity prices have a way of kind of seeking their level, and that eventually sorted itself out. And then there was some cruise ship realignment stories over the summer. We were losing some sort of mid-range cruise ships, but they're being replaced by high-end cruise ships. And that sort of indicates that discretionary spending patterns are changing in Sitka. And so we saw sort of corresponding contraction in the retail sector and 2 quarters of lower than expectation sales tax returns in quarters 2 and 3 in Sitka. And again, these are not sort of headline stories. They're just little things that are creeping into the news that suggest that, yeah, Sitka is sort of feeling the recession. The 2 quarter sales tax drops were not the end of the world. They were not the lowest sales tax receipts in history or anything. They were lower than expected. And our city finance department kind of, you know, warned the assembly that should this continue, you're going to have to make some adjustments. And probably those sales tax drops came from the contraction in cruise ship tourism, the contraction in the charter fishing sector, and the most interesting thing of all was the decrease in senior citizen spending, which is tracked here through the senior citizen sales tax exemption. And I know in my own parents, as the recession deepened, they had to move sort of from the income from their savings to actually tapping the savings themselves. And I know when you're actually living off your savings, you're probably not too free to go out and spend, you know, spend like you had in the past. So it's interesting. The dip in senior citizen spending had this impact on Sitka. Anyway, but that's so for not really having an economy story in Sitka, there was economic stuff happening here in 2009 for sure. And I'm sure people felt it in lots of different ways. So moving from the nation to the state, the big state news that rippled through Sitka was none other than the resignation of Sarah Palin, right? I mean, everybody, that was sort of what everybody was talking about in the middle of the summer. Not much of a ripple here in Sitka. I mean, we went out and got reacts, and it was kind of mixed as it was elsewhere around the state. But Sitka and Palin do not have a particularly...
Yeah, she passed up a lot of the capital projects.
That's right. There's no love lost between our Senator Bert Stedman and Sarah Palin. Palin vetoed most all of Sitka capital spending the past 2 years. She never really campaigned here. She got off the plane and for a photo op, and that was pretty much all we saw of Palin. I think in the 2006 primary when she really beat Frank Borkowski, I think she was third in the Republican primary here. So she was never a huge Sitka, you know, hometown favorite. Though people did seem pretty upbeat about some of her sort of populist policies at the beginning, you know, getting rid of the jet and restoring the Habitat Division and things like that, undoing things that Frank Murkowski had done. But anyway, it wasn't the huge bomb in Sitka that it might have been elsewhere. The other big state news that started, you know, January 1st last year was the 50th statehood anniversary. And in Sitka, I think that manifested itself most loudly when we held a reenactment of the covert flag-raising ceremony on July 4th, 1959, when Alaska actually became the 50th state. Some people, Alice Harrigan and Pat Smith, back in 1959, went and arranged this flag-raising ceremony at 12:01. And Alice Harrigan's daughter, Ann Strain, and Pat Smith's daughter, Pauline Fredrickson, whose daughter is Trish White, all sort of arranged to reenact this ceremony, and it was, I don't know, it was just kind of classically Sitka. And I gather that Governor Egan and his wife Neva actually sort of stood in the shrubbery during the 1959 ceremony, so as to not, you know, not obviously snub Juno and the other more worthy places of raising that first flag. But Sitka was the first capital of Alaska, and we also managed to be the first place for the 50-star flag was raised, and I thought that was kind of fun that that was recognized. So now getting to the actual sort of rundown, how are we doing for time? We're probably...
8:27.
Okay, so we knew 2 minutes wasn't going to do it in the year under, but we can just cruise through some of these things that will probably be appearing in our year under. In March, we celebrated the centennial of the Alaska Maritime Wildlife Refuge, St. Lazare Island, which was signed into existence by Teddy Roosevelt 5 days before the end of his term as president. It was the first example of a president using the power of executive order to set aside land, to permanently protect land. Also in March, Sitka Community Hospital signed a management contract with Quorum Health Resources. That was a big deal. And Sheldon Jackson College graduated its final group of students, lost its accreditation, and lost its state authorization all on March 31st, 2009, kind of a momentous day for Sheldon Jackson College, or what was Sheldon Jackson College. In May, Zuhal Bailey was named to succeed Paul Rosenthal as the director of the Sitka Summer Music Festival beginning in 2012. And as you mentioned when we were talking about this yesterday, the first H1N1 swine flu arrived in Sitka aboard a cruise ship in May, the Serenade of the Sea, a crew member. She had already recovered, but that really started to get us
thinking about the swine flu in Sitka.
Thinking about swine flu. Also in May, Jason Abbott pleaded guilty but mentally ill to the 2007 murders of his family. His lawyers agreed to take a 40-year sentence, but he hasn't been sentenced yet because of some legal hoops that are being jumped through. In June, we saw our first stimulus money arriving in Sitka, $677,000 for the Ocean Boulevard project up in Peril Strait to thin that just over 200-acre tract of land. It's an interesting restoration project. It's been pretty controversial. Also in June, the halibut bag limit for guided sport fishermen dropped to one fish a day. There was a lawsuit that followed, and the lawsuit eventually was dismissed by a Washington judge. And that almost overshadowed the increase in the bag limit to two king salmon a day for sport fishermen. I know there might be people listening who remember last year when fuel prices were so high and it was just one fish a day for us, for us poor schmucks out there sport fishing. And fishing for kings got to be a pretty expensive proposition. Also in June 2005, Sitka High graduate Matt Way was taken in the fifth round of the Major League Draft by the Phillies. Getting picked in the fifth round is a lot different than getting picked in the 30th round. Probably almost all the Major League players playing now went in those early rounds. And I don't want to put too much burden on Matt, but I have a feeling we'll be seeing him on the mound in the Major Leagues. And if he ever gets to the postseason, every time he gets up there, they'll be talking about this hometown kid from Sitka,
right,
Alaska, and they'll put a little picture of, you know, Sitka in a box up in the corner. The screen.
Maybe a picture of a bear or something, too.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be good. And also, same sort of fame of a different kind for Sitka. The movie The Proposal opened in June. Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds gave Sitka some exposure. The major news of the summer was bears, dry weather, and late salmon returns, but somehow we managed to survive it all. And I realize we're running out of time. I guess the other big thing of the summer was the arrival of a delegation from the University of Dubuque to take a look at Sheldon Jackson College. And just a week or so after that, the assembly decided to take the Hames PE Center off the October ballot, and there were three questions surrounding Hames. There was going to be a charter amendment, a property tax increase, and the actual purchase and renovation of Hames. All of that was kind of sidetracked by optimism surrounding the visit of the University of Dubuque, and of course the assembly renewed the Hames PE Center lease for another year, but the whole Hames, Dubuque, Sheldon Jackson question remains very much up in the air. So that's most of the list.
Well, we would be amiss if we didn't talk about the roundabout.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I was going to say, and drum roll, please, the top story, 2009. I gave it to the roundabout. It seems like, people have almost forgotten now, how controversial that was. The assembly debated it for almost 2 years, probably five or six votes, most of them negative. It is a state intersection. The state was very determined to build this. The assembly had some probably healthy skepticism about it when it was first proposed, and the state kept coming over, giving presentations, and slowly the assembly was brought around. But due to sort of procedural rules regarding assembly no votes, you cannot vote no on the same, on, you know,
thing twice.
Yeah, unless there's a special reconsideration vote, which there wasn't. So they kept on having to sort of modify the easements and the land swaps. And eventually, by the time they got sort of a land swap that would work, or a land purchase that would work, for a bit of Swan Lake Park and a bit of the other side of the intersection that allowed the state the room to build that intersection, most of the assembly had been brought around, and granted the state the necessary land to build that intersection. But once people started driving through it, it was like, huh, yeah. I think they might have got it right. So anyway,
somebody in a state office is sitting there saying, I told you so.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes up for all the times that, you know, there have been government boondoggles. That one probably worked out pretty much as predicted. So anyway, there you have it.
Well, does that wrap it up for the year?
Pretty much for the year, unless we just hope we can get through the day without
any major news.
Anything too exciting.
You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Rob Woolsey is the Director of News for Raven Radio, KCAW, and Sitka.